Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. It's tough to make predictions, especially about the future, goes the famous Yogi Berra quote. But today, speaking about the future of real-time money movement in a conversation that should interest every traditional banker, neobank, and fintech, we have Fiserv Senior Vice President Product Management for Card Services and Payments, Dave Keenan. And Dave is willing to make predictions. He's joined by Mercator Advisory Group's own Director of Debit and Alternative Payments, Sarah Grotta. Their conversation starts big in the importance of instant money movement, and they cover some history, some definitions, before they move on to the future. Dave outlines, in dollar terms, the size and scale of the coming real-time payments evolution and focus on cash finality. The through line of the discussion is, and I'm paraphrasing here, bankers who are on the fence should get with their trusted providers and get off the sidelines. Without further ado, let's take it to the show. So Dave, the phrases real-time payments and instant money movement become ubiquitous within the financial services industry. Why is it important that these topics be top of mind for any financial institution right now?
Terrific question. It's because it's going to be big. There's going to be a sea change in payments that is going to drive different consumer and business behavior, and financial institutions are going to need to adapt if they want to retain those relationships.
Absolutely. You know, I hear some financial institutions comment that, you know, they're waiting for some of the business cases to materialize or for the market to mature. And while, you know, for some financial institutions and their strategy, they don't necessarily need to be absolutely cutting edge with some of these new payment types, but I think not having faster or real-time capabilities means that, you know, financial institutions aren't availing their customers and members of a better experience. And they're also missing out on some internal efficiency. So, you know, certainly in conversations I'm having with financial institutions, you know, we're talking about finding some good use cases and starting now.
So Dave, one of the challenges that we face just in doing the Payments Journal podcast is around the definition of terms. And oftentimes so much from different players across the industry get packed into all the same words. So I was curious if you could give us, whether it's your definition of your take on the definition of real-time payments and instant money movement.
Sure. And I keep it very, very simple, which is actually to use an example of getting cash. So to me, the meaningful definition of real time has to do with the benefit to the recipient of that transaction. So for example, if I do a real time payment to Sarah, at the time of that transaction, real time, can she then go and get cash out of an ATM? And that actually, within the inside transaction processing of it, entails a couple things. One, does Dave actually have the money that he wants to send to Sarah in the account? And that needs to be authorized in real time. Secondly, that then when I initiate the transaction to Sarah, that it shows up in her account at her financial institution in real time, that she can, as I said, Dave's definition, she could go get cash out of it if she wanted to right away. And then there are these IOUs that are passed between our financial institutions to make sure that they actually move the money in between their accounts. And there are some considerations that some people believe that the concept of real time actually extends out beyond the, does Dave have the money in his account? Does Sarah, can she get access to that money right away? And into, does the money need to move between the two financial institutions? And I argue that it does not, that a real time network, as long as it can ensure that Dave has the money, and the money comes out of Dave's account in real time, the money goes into Sarah's account in real time, that these systems, these trusted systems between financial institutions, can take care of the moving the money between them.
I completely agree. And just to put a finer point on that, it's really just about the user experience. I mean, look at what's happened in the P2P space and how that's taken off, right? And why is that taken off? Well, you know, for a lot of reasons, but a big reason is that the user experience is so good. And when I get money through a P2P app, I know that that's available to me immediately. Who cares what happens in the back office? It's really about what I, as the user, can experience that application.
So Dave, I'm curious about some of the use cases that might be out there. Can you shed some light on the real-time payments journey and where we're at and what use cases you like to talk about?
Absolutely. And the first answer that I give usually surprises people when I share it with them, and that is actually getting cash out of an ATM. When you think about it, the definitions that I just used can be applied to when I go and I use an ATM to get cash at an institution that's not my own. So when I go and do that, the institution that owns the ATM has to talk to my financial institution, determine, does Dave have the money? And can we dispense cash? Which, as everybody knows, once that cash is out of the ATM, it's not getting back into the ATM. And the importance of this example is that this is one that's been used for 50 years. The technology that we're talking about in real time has been in place, and we've had this capability for over 50 years. And so this technology, the rails to support this, are very mature. Now, fast forward to today's environment, there are many, many examples that we're reading about more and more every day. As Sarah mentioned just a moment ago, P2P is a very, very popular one that is in there. I actually believe when I talk about this sea change, it's going to be much, much more than that. And I give examples about, you know, when you read about drivers or gig economy people wanting to be paid right away, that's one. When you think about business-to-business transactions where vendors will want to get payment for a shipping or something that they receive, everybody prefers when they are owed money to get it faster. And I think we're just now starting to see a number of use cases start to blossom.
I think you make a really interesting point about the fact that we've actually been doing this in the payments industry for a really long time. And it's just, we're at that point of evolution where we're starting to see new opportunities, new rails come on board. But we've kind of been here before and we've done that before, but there are more in new use cases. And I think it's interesting to see some of the pilot programs serving very specific use cases like the ones that you've brought up. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity to really see a lot of these start to scale. And I think we're pretty early in that game.
Agreed. And I think, Sarah, wouldn't you say it's pretty exciting? It seems there's a new use case or a new app, someone providing some type of service that leverages this regularly now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what makes it exciting. And so what then is important is to find the use cases that are most important and most impactful for your financial institution that's really going to benefit everyone, you know, benefit the financial institution, benefit the user, and create synergies along the way.
Dave, I'd like to get your opinion on the intersection of the future and opportunities, but also maybe focus in on that word that you and Sarah just keyed in on, which is scale. How do you see things scaling and how does that play out in the future?
In the United States, for example, there's about $125 trillion that is moved in payments, whether that's B2C, P2P, B2B, all of these take $125 trillion. ACH is the majority. Checks are a lot of that. For scale, over the next 10 years, the best estimates that we have now suggest that somewhere between 9 and 32 trillion of that 125 is going to convert over to real time. And the point in saying convert, worth emphasizing, is real time doesn't create new interactions. It doesn't create a new interaction between me and Sarah. It just is a faster, better way to conclude an interaction that we already have. So that means this 9 to 32 is going to come out of existing forms of payments today. And by way of scale, again, the entire cards ecosystem, debit and credit in the US, is $7 trillion today. So when I talk about this being big, I mean it. Over the next 10 years, you will see real-time payments be larger than the cards ecosystem is today. And that is very exciting.
That is exciting. And, you know, I think it's going to take a while. I think we're going to be supporting, as we typically do in payments, we're going to be supporting all of our legacy payments as well as some of these new rails, as we always do. We always enjoy adding new payment types and still supporting some of the older ones. But, you know, the other thing that I'm excited about also looking into the future are some of the opportunities around the data that I think we really haven't done justice to quite yet. I think we probably haven't even scratched the surface of that, but the opportunities to, you know, improve fraud detection, improve processing, create efficiencies, and just general financial management with the data that is accompanying or attached to some of these new payment flows, that's really exciting too.
Really interesting comments around scale. It sort of made me think of, I do not want to make a conversation around crypto, but if you think about how much of the media space right now is dominated by crypto headlines, and that's an ecosystem that's under $1 trillion. And yet one of the big sort of like marketing, if you will, points around crypto is cash finality in transaction. But Dave's here talking about $9 to $32 trillion moving over into real-time cash finality compared to this nascent space that isn't even up to $1 trillion. So anyway, I just thought that was so interesting.
It is very interesting. And those of people who know me know I have very strong opinions about crypto. We'll hold those off for another podcast. But to your point, it stresses that consumers, businesses value faster funds movement, secure funds movement, and solutions that can meet that. And I argue with 50-year-old heavily vetted and trusted technology are absolutely going to change the day.
Very cool. So amidst all the activity and change, I guess you just kind of hit it. Like, let's not lose sight of the consumer. Can you tell us, like, sort of from your perspective, what are consumers looking for? How are their behaviors changing or influencing real-time payments and the development of real-time systems?
Yes, I see two behaviors right away. One is consumers are going to demand and do business with those solutions that help them get their money faster. That's just obvious. So when you read about 50% of gig drivers, you know, the Ubers and the Lyfts getting their cash out at the end of the day and paying a fee for that, to me, that speaks very clearly to consumers value faster funds availability. Obviously, small businesses which rely on improved cash flow are going to value solutions that provide them to it. So what's going to happen, number one, is consumers, as they become aware of these surround solutions that enable real-time access, they will reward the providers of those. So that's number one. Number two, I do believe that consumers are going to need to come off the sidelines against fraud. Sarah hinted at it a little bit before. There is great opportunity with real time, but sadly, as we are already seeing, the fraudsters are right on top of this and recognizing the power that they have if they can try to drain an account in real time. And I'm excited by this because I believe that consumers are ready to come off the sidelines in the battle against fraud. And I believe we talked about these tools that are going to be developed. I believe that there are ones that will allow consumers to better protect their account, better protect those that they transact with. And all of this is going to change for the better at the same time that more and more of these payments move to real time.
So Dave, moving off the consumer and back to banks and financial institutions, where should financial institutions be thinking about addressing their real-time payments changes? What are you anticipating?
So the good news is that you're not out of the game. If you're still at the starting blocks, don't worry about it. This is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. But as Sarah said, it's time to move. It's time to for financial institutions. So you're not out of it yet, but I urge all financial institutions to get off the sidelines, get with their trusted partners, and start to find out what do your customers, your members want? What solutions are they using actually today as a good indicator of what they will value and how you can deepen your relationship with them? But get with your trusted partners in this area, see what's available, get in the game, start the race, because you need to get there now to start to build this as it develops, because it's going to develop very, very quickly.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of ways where financial institutions can start with just a couple of use cases or just a couple of payment scenarios to sort of get their feet wet and really understand what are the implications, if you will, of implementing some of these real-time and faster payment solutions. And that gives you the time to educate yourself on all the sort of surrounding activities, including fraud, as you mentioned, Dave. And then that just allows you to be poised for moving to the next step and catching up.
Great point.
Really cool. Well, David and Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your expertise today. Great conversation around real-time payments, particularly on the future and forecasting the future. Always sort of a favorite. And thank you again for sharing your expertise with the Payments Journal audience.
My pleasure. Thank you. Yep.
Thank you.